a statement a preacher made years ago named Vance Havner. Maybe some of you have heard some of his sermons. He says, it ever occurred to you, nothing ever occurred to God. He knows it all. Amen. Would you open your Bibles this morning to the book of 3 John? It's right, the second book before Revelation, almost at the end of your Bible. 3 John. And I'd like us to look there this morning and read these words and consider some people that are mentioned in this book and the reputation that God has recorded for us about them, and apply some lessons from their life and try to understand what it might mean in ours. In 3 John, it says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if they bring forward on whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. In this short book, we see three people named by their name. And it's noticed the different description of their life. And one of the things I notice about these is they're not well known to us. Maybe one of them we've heard mentioned occasionally, like the one person said, everybody has a good thing to do. Even if there's nothing else, you can be a bad example. And, of course, that's the case of Diotrephes. Maybe you've heard of him. But the other two men that are mentioned here are commended for their life. So I'd like us to consider some of the things here that are described. But the other thing I want to say by way of introduction is they're not famous. They're not necessarily preachers, evangelists, or missionaries, as we would term the description, but they're people involved in a local church. You know, God is interested in everybody, and everybody has opportunity to serve the Lord. We all need to be saved the same way for the same reason, because we're all sinners and we're lost. The Bible says none is righteous, no, not one. And yet God says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And the only way we can obtain perfect is through Jesus Christ. For God hath made him to be sin for us. We might be made the righteousness of God in him. We emphasize these last weeks about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And the scripture says he was crucified and he was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. That he fulfilled the plan of God. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves, providing forgiveness of sin. And bring us into the family of God. Everybody needs to be saved. And after we're saved, everybody needs to be joined together with fellow believers serving the Lord. Now, I believe every one of us as Christians ought to be involved in a local church. Now, God will direct you if you ask. and follow his leading. There are some various things in Scripture we use as standards by which we would judge whether it's a good one or a bad one. The main thing, do they preach the Word of God? You know, that's the most important. You may have a favorite music. You may have a favorite attire. I have a friend that preaches in Cleveland who wears a robe every Sunday. Now, I've preached for him a couple of times on special occasions. He lends me one. I feel kind of out of place with a robe. But, you know, it doesn't matter to me. As long as you don't think that makes you holy, wear a robe, wear a suit, whatever's appropriate. But the message is the most important. The Word of God, which was given to us, entrusted to our hands, and passed down through the generations, that we might know what God wants us to know. You know, the Bible is God's written Word. It tells us that Jesus Christ is the living Word. So there's an association there. And this portion of Scripture that we've been given here is a letter written, we believe, by John, to a man and a church there. We don't know a whole lot about them, except that these three people were involved. This time, John is old. I don't know if it's toward the end of his life, whether he's written the book of Revelation yet or not, but maybe you know something of the history of John, the apostle. He was the beloved one, it mentions in the last portion of the Gospel of John. And then tradition tells us that he was boiled in oil, but he didn't die. And they cast him off to the Isle of Patmos in seclusion, thinking they'd punish him. And God revealed to him the things that are recorded in the book of the Revelation there. We believe he died later of old age. All the others died martyrs, the other disciples. And it's an amazing thing. But now as he's older, he's still interested in the work of God. He's writing to this first man, Gaius. Gaius was an active member of the church, and I would put that title on him, the active participant. He is interested in being involved in the business that the Lord gave them. You don't see that he's preaching or necessarily teaching. He's not necessarily a high officer, but he's more than just somebody who sits. He may have come regularly to the Lord's house, but doing whatever he could for the work of Christ. As I read here, verse 2, it talks about his soul's situation, or the condition of his soul. He said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Isn't it a good thing to think someone is noted for having a healthy soul? Whether the body's healthy or not. I mean, that's the desire, that's the prayer. But it's so much better to be right with God spiritually than just healthy physically, because no matter how healthy you are now, someday you will die. One fellow said, the healthiest man I knew died in a plane crash with carrot juice dripping off his face. You know, he lived a strict way of life. He drank natural things and ate a special way. Didn't like coffee or tea or anything, but he still, when it was appointed unto him, he died. You never know what's going to happen, but think about the importance of your spiritual life to be prosperous, to be successful in your journey for the Lord. And every one of us ought to attain to that. And it reminds us that God honors people that God sees are working for him. And they necessarily don't have to have talent. They don't have to have riches. They don't have to have position or notoriety. But are they faithful? Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, the scripture tells us. And I question, are we faithful? Are we doing what God has called us to do in our place of service? Do we come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night as we're able? Are we able to go out in other opportunities for the Lord and serve him? And then notice it talks about his conviction in life. Verse 3, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, that even as thou walkest in the truth. Not only was he involved, he continued to be an example, faithfully obeying the Word of God. You know, a lot of people know a lot of information, but what we really believe, we do. I've probably mentioned too many times for you to remember, but I went to a meeting years ago over in Painesville Baptist about a Sunday school meeting, a man named Aubrey Rose, a unique name, I remember it to this day. He made a statement that I've not forgotten. He said, I practice every day what I believe. All the rest is just religious words. That stuck with me. What you do speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you say. Maybe you've heard that statement before. but what really we believe we use in our life. I believe the Word of God, then I ought to do my best to obey it. I believe that Jesus Christ saves sinners, and I'm a sinner, I need it, so I called on the name of the Lord, and He saved me. I believe that God wants me to be in the house of the Lord, so I'm here. I believe God called me to be a pastor and put me in this place. That's why I'm here. All those things affect our lives, what you believe. What do you believe God wants you to do? You say, well, I'm not the preacher, I'm not the minister, but you can be a faithful servant of the Lord and walk in truth. That means obey what God says. This is the way, walk in it. Don't turn to the right hand nor to the left. You know, sometimes we're so busy worried about people who are on the left side of things. You know, they've forsaken the old ways and they're loosing their activities, maybe involved in things that we believe are contrary to the Word of God. And we look at the left side thinking, yeah, they're lazy or they're lacking in convictions. But you know, He warns us about the right side also. Don't you add to the Word of God nor take from it. I'll give you an example from the Bible. Jesus talked about the Pharisees from time to time. And He told one time the people who were listening, do what they say, don't follow their example. Because with the words, they're telling you exactly what the law said. But with their actions, they contradicted. They tithe the mint and anise is the example Jesus gave. Mint and anise are spices. Maybe you've seen the mint grow. Pick off the little leaves, you know. Think about the specific carefulness it would take to count them all out. Make sure you give one-tenth to the offering to the Lord's house. They were particular, I can't say the word, really hard trying to do their best to fulfill the letter of the law. They wore the clothes that they believed was required. They did everything point by point. But Jesus said, but they forgot the weightier matters of the law. They don't show mercy. They don't help those in need. They've missed the point. You know, you can be exactly right and still miss the point. That God desires us to love one another and to help one another. And by the way, do you notice this here as it talks about Gaius in this passage that we read? Some of the things that he did, he welcomed people in and he provided a place for them on their journey. Other Christians. You know, in those days, there were a lot of people traveling, and there was a lot of persecution in different places, different times, and Christians would be in transit, and they would need help. Many of them were dispossessed because of the persecution. Maybe didn't have a lot. And Gaius was one of many who welcomed them in and sent them on their way. I notice that little phrase. He says, verse 7, because for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. You know, sometimes we expect the world to pay the way for Christians. That's not the way it should be. We ought to be willing to help one another in the Lord's work. And then we reach out to others who not yet come to know Christ. That's what our mission is, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're trying to bring people to Jesus because they need Him and He wants them. You know, a lot of people have schemes. They want some. They don't want all. But Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give thee rest. Whosoever will, let him come. James talks about, you see a man that looks good on the outside, fine clothes, rings on his hand, you welcome him in, but you despise the poor, and that's not right. You ought to honor people in the name of the Lord and providing for them on their way. They don't have to be a burden on the unbelievers, but they see the difference. And by the way, one of the evidences and one of the reasons why the early church spread in a time without electricity or automobiles or trains or anything, the Word of God spread. In fact, one of the enemies of the Gospel Book of Acts says, behold, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. How'd they do it? They went everywhere preaching the Word of God. It spread one by one. And one of the things the world noticed was what Jesus said, behold how they love one another. People saw the difference that Christ made in the lives of other believers that they would receive from every part of society, rich or poor, slave or free, different nationalities. They had one common denominator, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And as I've emphasized often, the ground at the foot of the cross is level ground. That means everybody comes in salvation by faith, by grace through faith, the same way. the same Savior, no other way, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But also we all have the opportunity to serve the Lord. And he believes all of us are important. It's not really in my message today, but I remember the verses in 1 Corinthians 12 and other places where it talks about he gave gifts unto the Christians. And some were given one gift and some another, but we're all to serve the Lord with whatever he gave us. And every part of the body, that's the illustration the Lord gives, every part of the body is necessary. And if one member suffer, then all suffer. We stand, and I stand here and preach to you, my hands and my mouth and all my body's involved. You probably never take any notice of the big toe until you lose one and fall flat on your face. Or have to have an operation, have special shoes made later so you can learn to walk again. Think, what? Well, never think of that. It's not important. Oh, yeah, it is. It's so important. That's foundation. Every part is necessary. Every believer is important to God. Every one of us has a work to do for the Lord. Are you walking in the truth? Following the convictions the Lord has given? Do you stand for it, not just talk about it? As I said before, we practice what we really believe. All the rest is just religious words. And verse 5, it says, he was committed to the work. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. In verse 6, it talks about that they've borne witness of thy charity before the church. He wasn't in a big place necessarily, but he was doing what he could, where he could, when he could. What an example to us. I read the story after the Second World War. There were some the students volunteered to help rebuild a church that had been damaged by all the destruction around. It had a statue of Jesus, been badly damaged, and before they worked hard to try to restore it, but they had trouble deciding how they'd take care of the destruction and try to bring back the hands that were formerly there but now were gone. And finally they decided they left them off, and they just wrote a plaque. It says, Christ has no hands but ours. They took a bad situation and used it to illustrate an important thing. God wants to work in this world, and he's chosen to use you and I. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, by the foolishness of preaching, he's chose to save them that believe. He sent us out there to do that. That's our part. Gaius was no superman. He wasn't a holier than thou, but he was a faithful man. And he understood living for the Lord means you serve the Lord with your life. You serve the Lord through your efforts obeying him and reaching out to others. The Lord Jesus Christ said he came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come as a physician to heal the healthy. He came to reach the sick. And who needs the Lord? Every person. Because we're all in need of that salvation. Who needs help along the way? Various ones. Will you be one to guide them on the way as this man, this faithful, active man, Gaius? The second one that's mentioned, verse 9, is a bad example. Diotrephes, who loveth the preeminence among us and receiveth us not. For all the virtue that Gaius had, Diotrephes was just the opposite. He had a problem. What was it? He had an attitude problem. He thought the church was for him. It's all about me. An opportunity to exercise his power and position rather than a place to pray and seek God's will and helping others. He was selfish. He wants to be first. He loveth the preeminence. That means to be first. But God taught us through the words of Jesus Christ, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And through other scriptures, it tells us Jesus has a name that is above every name. He's to be first and have the preeminence in all things. It's not me and Jesus. It's Jesus who saved me, you see. And we follow him. If you feel like church is all about you and what you can get, you got the wrong attitude. It's an opportunity for you and I to serve the Lord and to reach others. What can I do to be a part of God's work in this world? And how can I be a part of what's going on? And another thing, not only was he selfish, he was stubborn. He received his not. He just went on his way. What an example of hard-hearted and stubbornness. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, perhaps you recall the story of Saul, the first king over Israel, who disobeyed the Lord over and over. And when he was called to task, he would make some word of, I'm sorry, and come back. But the Lord saw through it all. And in the midst of that situation of his rebellion, the prophet came and rebuked him for all of that. And part of the rebuke is verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Saul lost his opportunity in this life and a place of service that he was given because of his attitude. I'm in control. I'll make the decision. At one point in Saul's reign, he had made a vow before God because he was in a battle and he needed some help and he did something foolish. And he said, nobody can eat until the end of the day. And anybody eats anything, he's to die. And Jonathan didn't hear it. That's his son. Fighting in another place, he stuck his stick down and got some honey and tasted it, and he got a little energy from it. And they said, oh, you know, your dad put a curse on anybody who eats anything. And it all came to pass, and they found out who it was, and Saul said, he should surely die. And all the people said, you're crazy, and they rescued him. Why would a man be so stubborn about his words? Pride and selfishness and stubbornness. Because he wanted to have the first place. The Bible says that we ought to be humble before God and have a meek spirit and one that's endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. That's the opposite of the attitude the Lord teaches that we ought to have. It's not about me, it's about him. When you're coming to the Lord's house, when you're going from place to place, every area of our life as believers ought to be, Lord, what will thou have me to do? By the way, I'm so impressed when I read again the book of Acts, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the apostle. And he had used all his energy opposing the Christians and standing up for the faith of his fathers, the strict Pharisees of Gamaliel. And he had persecuted him. He stood by and saw Stephen stoned to death and all that. He thought he was serving God. But when he met Jesus on the way, he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. The next words, you remember what he said? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He recognized immediately that Jesus Christ being Lord means that I have a responsibility to serve him. And he was told what he would do, and he spent the rest of his life, even though it was a hard way, but he had the right attitude as well. He said, this light affliction that endureth but for a moment, it's nothing to be compared with the eternal weight of glory that we're going to have in eternity. You think of that. Whatever your problems are today, they may be a heavy burden, hard situation, the terrible trials of our faith and suffering physically and mentally, all those things, how much are you going to worry about that 10,000 years from now in heaven? So you'd be gone. Just a light affliction. As our sister used to come here, Iva Lee, and sing and play at night, she had that song she penned, I've Got It Easy, Lord. Dan, you have to find out again and sing it again sometime. I don't have it, but it's a beautiful song that references the great blessing we have because of what Jesus did for us. And it's not to be compared to our light affliction. And Paul said, it's just a short time. How long is your 100 years, if you live that long on earth, compared to eternity? See, it's nothing. God gives us better than we deserve. But beyond that, he was spiteful. He said he doesn't receive us. He talks against us. Verse 10, his deeds, I'll remember. And he's prating against us with malicious words. I mean, he's bad talking them, bad mouth them, not content there. Doesn't himself receive the brethren. Forbiddeth them that would. Casteth them out of the church. You know, it's an awful thing when somebody thinks, I'm God. They wouldn't say that, but they get that attitude. I know what's right. Nobody else does. Do it my way. You know, you'd think they were a DI in the Marine Corps. My way or the highway, you know. That may be all right for boot camp, but that doesn't work as a Christian. God is the leader, and we answer to him. In Romans, the Bible says, who art thou to accuse another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Who is our master? The Lord, not one another. We ought to love one another, we ought to encourage one another, we ought to help one another, and we ought not cut down one another. In Galatians, he warns the believers about if you bite and devour one another, you'll destroy each other. You know, you can't do that. You need to get your attitude right. Finally, the last one, in verse 12, is Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. This man, he was admired. Why? Because he had a good report of all. He had a good testimony. Now, that's important. You ought to have a good testimony as a believer. You can't change the past. God can forgive you and cleanse you and give you new life. But if you're following the Lord, people ought to look and see the difference that Jesus made. The difference that Jesus makes in our attitude toward the problems we face. You know, in our country today, we face some problems. We have danger on every side, it seems. We have challenges to our economy and people coming in that some are trying to kill us. And how do you answer that? You ought to answer it by faith in God. One aspect of all this coming in, you know, we went to all the world to preach the gospel to all these different, they're coming here. We can preach to them here as well, amen. God loves the world that he gave his only begotten son, not just USA. God cares for all. Christian, we ought to be careful about our attitude and show forth and walk in the truth. You can say people looking you at church, but what about your life at work? At home, in business, honest and obeying God and serving example. One poet wrote this, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. Eyes a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. And the best of the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see the good in action is what everybody needs. A good example by faith, obeying God, serving the Lord. And then he held on to the truth. He said, you have a good testimony, a good witness of all men and of the truth. He believed the word of God. He held to the word of God. You know, some of us today are like the fellow that complained to Gypsy Smith, great preacher of past generation. He said, I've gone through the Bible several times, not helped me any. And the man said, well, let it go through you once, and you'll see a different report. The problem is, it's not just information. It's the word of God. It's profitable for doctrine. That's what's true. For correction, that's what's not true. For instruction in righteousness, the man of God be perfect, truly furnished all good works. I missed one. Reproof, that's what's not true. And then correction, that's instruction. All those four things are important. But basically it says everything you need to live for God is in the Bible. But it only works if you do it. Some of you are familiar with the program called AA. I've had some friends talk to me. My father was involved with that for a while. I have his book somewhere. But one of the things a friend of mine said to me one time, I asked him, how did it help you, this program? You're going and meeting and all this. He said, the program works if you work the program. I thought, well, that makes good sense to me. You know, church works if you do what God says. The Bible don't help you if you disobey. It convicts you. You know, some people are going to stand before God guilty because they had so much of the Bible, but they rejected it. It's not how much you know, it's what do you do. What have you done with the opportunity God's given? These three men are three examples we can choose from. Two of them are good ones. Gaius was faithful, and he served. He reached out to people and brought them in and did what he could. And Demetrius had a good report of all and kept the truth. But old Diotrephes, he thought of himself, and he opposed others to keep his authority over others. And I ask you the question this morning. Look in your own heart and ask God to show you. Am I following the good examples of these two? Or have I got fallen off into the bad example of the one? It's always easy to gripe about what everybody else isn't doing right. But we're not called to give answer for them. We're responsible for ourselves. As Brother Les used to say, when you